What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 233, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's up?
Oh, just hanging out, ready to podcast for the week, get some gaming on.
Gaming and podcast. I look forward to the podcast every Wednesday as well as gaming. Talk about tech and then watch you freak out at Apex. So it's always good.
That's pretty much it. I didn't even have enough like good footage from last week. I feel like that I didn't even make like a 2 minute highlight video this week.
Those are the things. So like sometimes you have these like amazing games.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, yes. And then some weeks you're like, yeah, I didn't do anything. Like, we died every time. Like, I've been playing this game for 4 hours and I haven't done anything.
Yeah. I mean, there was like a couple times where I was like, all right, that was pretty sweet. But it didn't feel like, well, this would be a 30-second clip. So, nah, we'll just not do it.
Yeah. Also, if you notice, my camera has changed.
Well, it did, a little different angle.
It's a little angle, it's a little back, so you can see a little bit more of me, not just my face. I think it's better. It's not as high as it used to be because I used to sit on top of the monitor here.
Right, and we were looking down on you.
Yeah, now I have it on the side, which is good. And you can see like my stuff back there.
I like it.
My Intel 10th gen box and my compute stick. Remember the Intel compute stick?
I do.
I have that over there. I got a bunch of stuff back there. Paul's in the house.
We're both like facing the same direction, kind of.
Yeah. So we can.
It's like, what's over there? What are they looking at?
Yeah. But yeah, Paul's in the house. What's up, Paul? We're talking about his review this week. Some really awesome headphones there. But yeah, let's jump into it. I don't think there's anything. I am missing the hockey game. I have to point that out. I was going to say to do the podcast on Thursday. I was going to ask you if you wanted to
really?
Do it. But no, I have the score open. Oh, it's tied game now. The Penguins just tied it. So. Yeah, I'm missing the hockey game. It's so good to have sports back. Whether I know baseball's back, basketball's back. I don't know. Besides that, in hockey, is football going to start though?
I think so. Right?
Really? I thought of people. A lot of those players signed something. I saw that on Twitter, but I don't know if that's true. But it is good to have sports back. But obviously, we appreciate everybody, of course, listening to this podcast and tuning in live with us. So let's jump into tech. And if you guys want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page, which is linked in the description of the video, as well as on, you know, your podcasting, app. And you can follow along and see everything that we're going to talk about. But first, we have a really cool product and one I had a lot of fun because it was a gaming monitor.
Yeah.
And you get to play games on it, which is obviously really awesome about reviewing a gaming monitor. Yeah. This is the Viotech GFT27CXB. That is a 27 inch 1080p 240 hertz monitor, basically made for professional gamers, FPS gamers who need that higher refresh rate. Obviously you need something to push that higher refresh rate as well, but it is a TN panel, which we see a lot of higher refresh rate monitors be TN panels. And it's kind of, I mean, you look at it, it's not curved. It pretty basic, no extra USB ports. The stand is actually nice. And the one thing I actually did like about the stand, which I haven't seen as much because we see all these curved displays, is that you can actually put it in a full portrait mode.
Yeah, we haven't seen that in a while. You've looked at a lot of curved monitors, so that's probably why we haven't seen it. But yeah, it's always nice to be able to rotate that if you've...
Pretty, like I said, pretty basic all around. And I think we know Viotech for that. They kind of give us what you want without all of the extra bells and whistles, and the stand is nice. It allows, one thing that was nice about the stand is the stand came attached. Like you could just take it out of the box with the stand attached. You don't have to attach the stand, which I kind of liked, and it makes it easier to travel with and all that stuff. And it's a really good monitor in the sense of TN panels. If you've used a TN panel, they're typically washed out, especially when you increase the brightness. They get washed out. The clarity of the display, the just the the overall quality is not very good, but this thing was awesome. I was actually really impressed, you know, playing different games. Obviously, I played Apex on it. I played Overwatch, Counter-Strike Source, or Counter-Strike Go. I'm sorry, not Counter-Strike Source. Let me go to, and like, just the overall colors on the display made me think it wasn't a TN panel. And that's what I really like about it, is that when you get to high refresh rate monitors, you kind of take a hit in the quality or the image color. Image quality, color reproduction, usually take a hit there. And it seems with this display, you really don't. And, you know, you can turn HDR on. This is HDR 400 certified. You can turn that on, and it still doesn't even really make it, like, it doesn't wash out the monitor, which is something I really liked. And the big question is, do you need a 240 hertz monitor, right?
And I'll just comment on the color, because I have the GFT 27DB, which is their 27-inch 1440, 144 hertz, and, like, I have no complaints about the color, and it's a TN panel as well. So, I think they've done a good job choosing what panels to go with, right, for these monitors.
That's the one you game with?
Yeah.
And why aren't you better?
I don't know.
But yeah, so we talked about this before. We talk about high refresh rate monitors. We met with NVIDIA at CES, and we were able to game at different refresh rates and see the difference, especially they had things set up so you could really see the difference. But even for me, as soon as I set up the monitor, I hooked it up to the Corsair One, the 2080 Ti, was running Apex, and every game I was getting over 3 kills. And if you watch our stream later, you'll probably see that doesn't happen all the time. But I felt like I could see players farther. I don't know if that makes sense. You know, I could see players farther. Like, I was shooting guys with like a 1x scope from very far away. And then when I was in those pretty insane battles, I felt more comfortable. I felt like I could see things better. Obviously, with a higher refresh rate, that will reduce your motion blur. And I think that's what it was. Also, 27 inches at 1080p is very good. I honestly prefer a 24 inch at 1080p. 27 inches was good. I'm sitting, I don't know how far, maybe 2 feet from the monitor.
Okay.
You couldn't see any pixels or anything like that. And I felt like I could see everything with curved displays. A lot of times you have to turn just slightly and you don't see everything right away. With this, I felt really good and comfortable. It is G-Sync compatible as well as FreeSync compatible. It just works. It's a really good monitor. I actually am considering hooking it up and playing with it when we play later, just because for FPS, it's that good. I mean, that's how much I really enjoyed playing this. I would rather play with this than the 100 hertz curve display I have, just for the fact of, I know, at least for me, and again, it's all subjective, right?
Yep.
For me, I feel like I play better on the higher refresh rate monitor. Not trying to sell you on this. It's just, that's just how I feel about it. That's my experience on it.
And I think that's an accurate feeling, you know, like, there's some of it's opinion and perception, but doing those tests right there in person and both of us having better results with the faster, higher refresh, like, okay. Like, and it was instant. It's not like, oh, I had to get used to a faster refresh rate monitor. It's just inherently better.
Yeah. So. It does have some other features. You can put an FPS counter on it. You can see
it's pretty big.
Yeah, it is decently big, and you can't move it, which is a little weird. You can also do, I don't know if you guys can see this, but you can see there is a crosshair. There's dots you can put on the center of the screen that obviously won't move. You have that. There's a counter as well you can put on there. It does have an on-screen menu system, as you can see here. What's nice about it, it's not buttons on the bottom of the monitor. It's not like 4 or 5 buttons. It's a joystick, which is much easier to use, which I like. All the menu systems are very easy to go through. There's quick menus too. Like, if you hit up, down, left, or right, it will bring up, you know, your presets, the game assist features, like I said, timer, crosshair, and FPS counter. switching inputs very easily, and then the volume on the monitor. There are no speakers on this monitor. There is a headphone jack, so whatever's running through your HDMI, you can put it out through the headphone jack if you wanted to do that. There is RGB on the back. It's this little RGB ring. You can't control it. You can only turn it on or off. You can't control what the effects are or anything like that.
So and it's kind of a rainbow.
Yeah, it's kind of like a rainbow wave type deal that goes around. It's not going to be bright enough to light up the back of, you know, if you have your monitor against the wall, it's really not going to light it up unless you have all of the lights turned off. And still, it's not very bright. It's kind of just like a gimmicky thing. But overall, I think this is a really good monitor if you're serious about FPS gaming. This is a monitor that I would highly recommend. It's only $289.99, which I think is really good for 27-inch, 1080p, 240 hertz, FreeSync, yeah. G-Sync. It's definitely bright enough. It's only HDR 400, but when it comes to super fast games, the brightness I don't feel makes that big of a deal. It's just a good deal, I think, at that price. And it's a solid display. The stands good, allows you to adjust it the way you want it. No real problems. The only problems, like I said, no controls for the RGB lighting. There is like a little clip on the back for cable management, but it's not great. Yeah. And because the monitor is so small, if you actually look at the inputs on the back, it does take a non-standard power brick. You can see it right here. I'm not the biggest fan of that because, you know, if you know the ones that take a full size power, you can find those very easily. You don't have to look up which one it is. This is non-standard. That happens with a lot of smaller monitors. You get that power brick, so you do have the power brick that comes with it. But besides that, I think it's just a great monitor. Definitely worth it if you're serious about gaming. I think that it is going to help you. And like I said, it's a good monitor, 1080p, 240 hertz. So definitely check that one out. We gave it a 9 out of 10 and a good value award there. And then I took a look at a NVMe SSD Gen 3, but it's from Saberent, who kind of have come on the scene and become this huge player in the storage market. They actually make a ton of different products. They actually make tripods for cameras, and they make USB stuff, and obviously they make storage, and they've been really doing great at storage. And I took a look at their Rocket Q, which is sort of like their flagship Gen 3 drive. And it's affordable. It's available up to 8 terabytes.
Nice.
The performance is great. It doesn't overheat. This is a drive that I would recommend to anybody who's upgrading to an NVMe. It's based on the Phison E12S, which is a variant of the E12. The actual controller has been shrunken down, which allows this drive to be single-sided, which is great if you're upgrading, say, like a laptop, and you don't have a whole lot of space there. Single-sided drive, not much to say about it because it is an NVMe drive, but it's a 2280, 80 millimeters long, kind of standard for the drive. Great performance. The 2 terabyte is 3,400 megabytes a second read and 3,000 megabytes a second write, I believe.
So pretty standard, decent numbers, really, for, a platform that's pretty...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 32 and 3,000. 32 read and 3,000 write, which, again, is good. It's still... Yeah. Plenty faster than a normal SATA drive and like a SATA SSD even. We saw great performance. We didn't see any anomalies across the board or anything like that. It's just a good drive. And Saberent has made these drives affordable. They've also made them in incredibly high capacity. Like I said, this drive is available up to 8 terabytes now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is great. Doesn't overheat. Didn't run it with a heat sink on it or anything like that. Just a good overall drive. Gave it a 9 out of 10 and recommended. The 2 terabyte is only $249.99. They have their own SSD toolbox software now, which they didn't have before. It's and 5-year warranty. Typically, you see 5-year warranty on storage products on higher end products. Right. This is not really, this is not a gamer drive. This is not marketed as such, but you get a 5-year warranty, which because this uses QLC, hence the name Rocket Q, you do get lower endurance. I think that the TBW is 530 terabytes on this. Right. Which the 5-year warranty would obviously cover way past that as well. So shouldn't have to worry about that. It does use cache or QLC caching or SLC caching, I'm sorry. And you'll notice if you do heavy writes, the performance will go down. We see that in all drives now. Most users will never see that because you're not constantly writing to a drive in high writes, you know, over terabytes of writes, you're not going to notice. Most users won't notice it. So again, if you're thinking of upgrading to an NVMe SSD, a Gen 3 one, if you're building a new system and you need an NVMe drive, this is one that I would highly recommend. So definitely go ahead and check it out.
The 8 terabyte is only $1,500. So
better get it. That's all you need. A mini ITX system with that in it. You're good to go.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
You know? So yeah. So highly recommended on this one as well. And then we get to Paul's review, which I was really impressed with what he said about these headphones. He says how to say these.
They look so comfortable too. Is it III?
I think it's III. He put it in the review. How to say it. This is their TMA2 HD wireless headphones. He says, I should bring it up on the screen, huh? He says that these are better than his Bose. These are better than everything. And the Fanatic dual gaming headset is based off these. So they OEM for companies as well to help them build their gaming headsets. So that just tells you that, you know, when companies partner with an audio company, the audio company usually knows what they're doing. I had never heard of this company before this, and I was really impressed with what Paul had to say about the quality of these headphones, especially considering that they're Bluetooth. Bluetooth, you lose a lot of quality. Even the headset that I have on, it's not going to be as good as something that I plug directly in. But he really, really liked it. I actually like how these are designed. And III, if I'm saying that correctly, they have where you can build your own headset, which is really cool. So you can pick everything. You know, like you get this headset, you're like, I wish, you know,
the shape or something. Yeah.
I wish that this was cloth instead of like the pleather, or I wish this, I wish that. They actually have that. I think you put it in page 4, all of the different customization options that you can do with this. I know it's page 3. You know, you can do so much with this. Here we go. So like you can pick the different speaker units. You know what I mean? You can actually pick different drivers. You can pick different headbands, which I think is really cool, with different types of, you know, padding in them. It's also, you can kind of pick what you want, and it's really, really cool. With the Bluetooth version, the wireless version, it's built into the headband, which is kind of cool. So if you really wanted to, you can make these wired if you want, and, you know, use a different headband. It's really like this whole, you know, functionality thing, which I think is awesome. All of the different ear pads that you can put on there, all of the different cables that you can have.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Awesome. Obviously different color cables if you want to do that too. There's just like so much that you can do on these. Even with like a type C, you know, connections for what's it called? For mobile devices, type C,
yeah,
mobile
devices. Stuff,
yeah, you can do all that as well. It's really cool. All of the stuff that you can do with these. And again, if you read his review, he really said that these are the best sounding headphones that he has ever used. It's
pretty just, good marks.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like they come with a decent price as well, right? I mean, they're
Not cheap. 350 for this configuration, which is the HD wireless. And what's nice about III is that you can go through the builder and do it yourself. But if you just want, like, the ones that we reviewed, they have, you know, like the, you know, the TMA2 HD wireless. They have some other ones that are already pre-built that you don't have to go through all the whole thing if you, you know, you didn't want to have to do it. So he gave them a 10 out of 10 and an editor's choice, which I think is highly, we don't give out that award that often. Oh. And for something that sounds that good. And I know Paul's an audiophile guy. He's like an audio snob, you know, like, which I should be because I, you know, I'm on my computer.
You're always listening to music, like, and all the time. Yeah,
always listening to music, but I use, like, not that these are bad. These are the HyperX, not that they're bad, but I should have like a nice audio interface and I should have this stuff. And I've been looking, but I just haven't got into that. But thank you, Paul, for obviously testing these against really great headphones and saying that they're the best that he's ever used. So check out that review. Again, we don't often give, it's not often we give a 10 out of 10 where we don't find anything wrong. So definitely check out that review for sure. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have this build that I absolutely love. Just the attention to detail in this one is great. And it's inside of the Thermaltake. This is the 20th anniversary level 20 case. And it is just this awesome, awesome build. And he modded the monitor too, which I think is pretty cool. So level 20, which is a very interesting case. And what I really like is he uses a lot of mirrors in this, which kind of make things appear bigger.
Right.
There's a lot of detail in this one. It's kind of hard to do things in this because you basically have these like three boxes where you system goes in here. The power supply is supposed to go up here. This front is for storage typically, but obviously you can see it's loaded out with radiators, gold and white theme, which I'm a huge fan of. I think it kind of just looks cool. And then if you kind of add it in the RGB, I think it looks.
I think I like
better.
It without. I really. I think I like it without the RGB. You and I'm not. I'm not a fan of this case. I feel like it's just like cobbled together. Is how it looks.
I agree.
I like what they did with it. I think the build like in it looks great and. I agree. I like the gold and white and the chrome look. I like it without the RGB because I think it, I don't know. I think it could look better with some different colors on the lights. But yeah, I'm just not a fan of the case design overall. But yeah, it's still a super impressive build.
Yeah, it's just, I really like it. And I feel like the mirror stuff is not used enough in builds. We don't see it as much. You know, but I think it's a really good build. It's by Douglas Alves, who we've never featured before. So that was kind of cool, too. I forget where he's from. Oh, it's on there's a page on the Thermaltake website that has, because it's part of their competition.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I think it's really good. And again, we have been kind of featuring these bigger cases lately, which I'm being nostalgic because I love the big, you know, those big, massive cases.
Full size cases. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, and I it's pretty cool how he did. He did mod the monitor, which I think is pretty cool looking as well.
The like IO, the PCIe slot covers are all gold as well, and like the brackets for the GPU. Pretty cool. You said, a lot of attention to detail.
Yeah, and you don't see that as much anymore. Like even you can see like the gold
thumb screws, yeah.
Gold thumb screws, like things like that, you don't see as much anymore. We're really done on this build. So I really appreciate that because I think sometimes we kind of lose all that. He does have there is a video on it as well, which we have in the article, which you guys can check out. But I just think it's really well done. So definitely go ahead and check that out on the site. And also something to check out on the site because there's only 5 days left to get your entry in to win the Asus ROG Strix B550F gaming motherboard, the Wi-Fi edition. 5 days left. We're almost up
on 10,000.
Up to 10,000 entries. Definitely getting in there. This is an easy one. We already, when that ends, we have another awesome product. It's fast and it's storage. So we'll have that up coming up after this one. So don't, if you don't win this one, don't worry. We'll have another contest. But if you haven't entered this one, definitely get your entry in. Super easy to do. So yeah, just get it in there. 5 days left coming down here. It feels like the months are just going by, you know? I feel like we just announced that contest and we're almost done with it. So that brings us to news this week. And we don't have a whole lot to talk about, but we do have some interesting NVIDIA stuff and some other interesting things as well. The first thing, which actually came out today, is that we might have release dates for the GeForce RTX 3080 Ti, RTX 3080, and everything else. So a new leak came out that's... the first is that the RTX 2070 super cards have been completely discontinued.
Yep.
And that the RTX 2060 and then the GTX 16 series will get a big price cut. And then we'll see an RTX 3080 Ti, RTX 3080, RTX 3070, and RTX 3060. All of those will come out in 2020. Which is pretty exciting. So the big date is the RTX 3080 Ti and RTX 3080 will be released on September 17th, which isn't that far away. Isn't that far away? And then you'll see the RTX 3070, which will probably be like the bread and butter card that most like you have a 2070 or yeah, you have a 2070 super. Yeah. Yep. That will launch in October, and then the 3060 would be like the more budget card would be in November, which completely makes sense. Perfect for holiday season. We'll get that card out there for a lot of people who may have, I don't know what the pricing is going to be on these. But that seems like a good release schedule, especially now because you don't have CES. So you're not waiting around for that.
Yep.
You know, you have holiday season, which is great to capture. And with everything going on, there are still a lot of people not going back to work. And there's still a lot of kids who might not be going back to school in the fall. And they want, you know, they need new PCs or they want to build their own PC. And to launch at that time makes a lot of sense to me.
I'm excited. Again, like we don't see the super name scheme here on any of these. We obviously see the TI. I'm curious to see if we'll see the super naming again later on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if super was just a one-time thing where they had to respond.
That is actually interesting because, you know, now people, it kind of makes it very easy for NVIDIA because they don't have to release that next gen or that next series. They can just refresh to a super,
right?
Which kind of makes more sense for them, but I don't. Yeah, that might have just been a one-time thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So it's really interesting. So definitely keep those dates in mind. Obviously, as more leaks come out, we'll let you guys know like specifics on dates. We should hear something here soon, I would assume, because it's they'll be coming out here decently soon. So we'll definitely keep you updated on that. And then we have another leak on performance. This is the RTX 3080, a new benchmark from 3DMark says that it was 35% faster than a 2080 Ti, which, again, we're seeing these
numbers are good,
decently big numbers.
Yeah,
do you think that they're gonna just put out a lot more performance than we got with the 20 series?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they focused more on that. Like I think I kind of mentioned last week, you know, maybe they focused more on not so much on RTX performance and everything. Not that I don't think that won't improve. I think that will, but maybe they've made more leaps from last generation to this upcoming generation than they did from the 10 series to the 20 series. I think
they've had a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing is they've had quite a lot of time. So definitely something this leaker, I'm not going to try to say his name, Yeah, I'm not gonna try to say it.
I'm not gonna try and say it, but I'll try anyway.
Yeah, I'll try to say it. No, he's been really good with NVIDIA leaks, so definitely just check it out on the site if you want to see all of his stuff. He has some really good leaks and stuff like that. So yeah, that's the one NVIDIA thing. And the second big NVIDIA thing is that we've seen this surge in companies wanting to buy ARM. If you guys don't know, ARM is a company, they make processors. They're going to be making the new processor that's going to go in the MacBooks, new Apple processor. They make, obviously, the NVIDIA Tegra is based off an ARM processor. The Samsung, I don't know how to say it, Exynos processor is made by ARM as well. And ever since it was announced that Apple will be moving to ARM for processors in their MacBooks, it seems like everybody wants to buy ARM. They want to buy them, especially with Intel having problems moving their node down. Other companies think, you know, if we purchase ARM or we invest in ARM, you know,
it's a big move.
We're going to see, maybe we'll see a shift where other companies are making ARM-based processors for Windows-based machines. Instead of having that Intel or AMD, there could be an ARM-based processor, and especially more like tablets and laptops. You know, so first, the first report is from NVIDIA, which would make a lot of sense for NVIDIA to buy ARM. The report is that NVIDIA was in advanced talks to acquire ARM. ARM is owned by SoftBank. If you guys didn't know that, this one makes a lot of sense. NVIDIA is always is competing on the GPU front. They already made, again, the Tegra processors, which were some of the best ARM processors ever made. If NVIDIA could put a CPU in a laptop with their GPU, you know, made by them on a Windows machine, it makes a whole lot of sense for that to happen. So that is one of the companies in the running. And then we have Samsung, which also makes sense. Samsung, I feel, is more equipped to buy them.
Yeah, they're just so much bigger than NVIDIA. Not that NVIDIA is small by any means, but
yeah. So Samsung did make the how do you say that? Exynos chips. Have that, and that those chips are actually in the works for Windows-based machines. So it makes sense if Samsung would purchase ARM. You know, it's just crazy. This bidding, not bidding more, but like every as soon as that Apple announcement, everybody wants their piece of ARM, it seems like, and it seems like they're ready to sell. It seems like, you know, they're ready to.
They wouldn't, kinda, I don't think there'd be this much news if like ARM was had no interest in selling.
Yeah, and then the two more companies are interested: TSMC and Foxconn. Obviously, TSMC makes sense. They make chips for everybody. It would
Foxconn makes. Parts for everybody as well, though.
So. Yeah, Foxconn makes parts for everybody as well. You know, and Foxconn has that very close relationship with Apple, which is interesting when this all comes out as well. It's just crazy. Like I said, everybody, and there's probably some other companies in the running as well. I do think by the end of the year, we would see like an ARM acquisition, just because I think Samsung or NVIDIA are probably the top runners, but you never know with Foxconn too, because again, you hear Foxconn, you don't
that really put you into much. Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So don't really know. But you know, we'll keep you updated on that one. Cause
it's publicly traded.
I have no clue. I don't believe. But again, this isn't like product news, but it will definitely affect the products that do come out. So I definitely wanted to tell you guys about that. Intel looks like they're doing some redesigning of their logos, and a new brand of CPUs is likely to come out from Intel. I honestly like the logo that we have right here. I'm not against this logo.
No, I think it's fine.
I don't think it's dated or anything like that. But this new, these new logos from Intel, they're more like,
they're more minimalist and more modern for sure.
Yeah, more modern, more minimalist. New Intel logo here. New Intel Inside logo. Intel Core logo, which
we've always kind of had like the i3 or i5 down in the corner.
And then we have this new Evo
powered by Core,
which we're not really sure what that means yet. But yeah, new branding. I think that Intel needs something new. I think that they need to appeal to more customers in some type of way.
So what's interesting to me on these logos is mostly the Evo one. And the shape of like the squares versus the outer frame, like it's a vertical rectangle, right? It's powered by Core. So is that, it just has me kind of curious. Does the logo insinuate some sort of design or feature set or, you know what I mean? Like the resources available on that compared to the standard Core.
That is interesting.
CPU.
Because like, if you look at it
above the square, it you know, there's that outer line that, you know, encompasses the Intel. On the Evo one, whereas just on the Core, the Intel name is inside the one square. So I don't know.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. So you just have Intel, and you have Intel Inside, which looks like a standard chip.
Yep.
And you have the Intel Core, which is a little different. And then you have this Evo, which almost looks like an SoC, right? Because it's a little bit bigger. You have this outer layer, and then you have this inside layer. So is it like an SoC, you know, that has
additional resources on the outside? Yeah, I don't know.
This guy's smart. He's looking at stuff. Yeah. You're like one of those conspiracy theorists with your cap on. So definitely, like I said, we'll see. We don't know what new products will have these or when Intel plans to use these. But yeah, can't say I hate it. Can't say I'm super pumped about the new logos. It would be nice to have like a nice enthusiast, like badass logo for Intel, like high-end processors.
Which I mean, they've got like their what's their like high-end, like the skull logo.
The skull, they did have that,
you know. And that's kind of neat, but I love this comment.
Old man says Intel's response to AMD: new CPU ? New architecture ? No, new logo. Genius. Oh, Shinny asked if I have a new camera angle. Yes, I do. You missed the beginning of the
noticed. Yeah, you missed.
Yeah, look at that. You can see all my gear behind me.
I think Shinny got a new camera angle as well. So
nice.
Or he said he had some new setup going on.
Nice. But yes, new camera angles for everybody who's just tuning in now. Let me know if you like it. You can see more of my workspace and more of me. I don't know if you want to see more of me. You'd rather see my stuff. But yeah. And what else we have here? Oh, this is we talked about this earlier this week, you and I. I'm actually a massive fan of this motherboard. We've heard of Waterforce from Gigabyte. That's typically a motherboard or graphics card that is water-cooled, mostly water cooled in the sense of you add it to a custom loop. So it has a block on it that you connect to your own custom loop. The motherboards are specifically great because it does all the hard work for you. It has a full, typically they have full mono blocks on them. So you just, again, you just hook up your loop and you're good to go. This is a little different and I love it because I'm not a major water cooling guy. And I think that this is pretty cool. So this is the Z490 Aorus Master Waterforce. It is obviously a motherboard that has a big mono block that's an AIO. So 360 millimeter AIO on this. And what I really like about it is there's four screws that just like any like, you know, AIO, four screws to connect it. And
I'm guessing that's like a cap on top of there that you place on top of it to, you know, make it look cleaner because you've got to install it somehow, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Or maybe it goes on from the back?
I think they go through the
top. Oh, you probably attach. Okay, those holes, those standoffs go through. Well, I can't really tell.
Yeah, they the press release did say that there's only four screws. Okay. Obviously, you can see them on the board. Not the typical Intel ones.
That's true.
Yeah. Either one, two, three. Where's the fourth one?
Maybe it does use that.
Maybe it used this one. But you can see the ones that are...
Yeah, they look like they're reinforced. Like a
One, two, three. I don't see a fourth one. But I don't see a fourth one. But in any case, this block is a CPU block, but it also has cooling for, of course, your power delivery components, which is really cool. Being able to cool all that stuff with an AIO 360, it's RGB. Obviously, I assume based on this picture, this lights up too.
Yeah.
Let me see where that goes. It looks like it might use this one. Yeah. I'm just looking at the picture. One, two, three.
See that? Yeah, Paul's saying it's kind of in the four corners of the socket, which.
Yeah. I'm not sure. But in any case, I really like this. And the thing that you were wondering is you said it would be hard to install because it comes in a kit, like it would come pre-attached, but it actually comes as you get the AIO with the block, you install your motherboard, then you install the block. It's just like any AIO you would get basically, but this one obviously comes with the motherboard. I like it because it's good for beginners. It's good for somebody like me who doesn't do custom water cooling. Mm-hmm. It's more than powerful enough. I think a 360 is more than powerful enough. It also puts you in that whole Gigabyte Aorus RGB thing because all of your lighting's going to go together, which is great. You just get a couple more fans. I mean, you can get any
Aorus RAM in there.
Yeah, Aorus RAM in there. Or again, the boards have RGB headers, so you just connect, RGB strip or RGB fans, and you're all on the same software, which I'm a big fan of. So
I didn't look. Does it run the fan cabling and everything through those?
I don't know.
Lines as well. I mean, I would think that'd be smart, kind of like the Arctic cooling.
Yeah. There's nothing. There's obviously in these pictures, there's no cabling. So we'll have to see. I don't know if they give it. Did they give a price on this? Well, let's see if we can go to the product page. I don't think there's a. See, these are all the renders. I don't think you're going to be able to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, we'll find out.
Yeah, but cool stuff. Yeah, this doesn't show. It does not show. Any case, definitely, I think it's cool. I'm a fan of it. I know a lot of people, especially people like Paul, the water cooling guys, aren't fans of these AIOs. But for somebody like me, it makes it easy. And it keeps the aesthetic, right? Because obviously, like Aorus, like it keeps it all kind of together, which I like. So if you want to pick that one up, I can't imagine it's cheap. So, especially the Z490 motherboard on top of the AIO part. So yeah, and then on to gaming news. Our only gaming, where it seems like there's not a whole lot of gaming stuff going.
This gaming news like has me excited for this type of game though.
And my one buddy Jack was just talking about the story is that there will be VR support in a future update for Microsoft Flight Simulator. We've been talking about this. A lot of people are excited. This was like one of the only flight simulators, but like the one. It's like the pinnacle flight simulator. And the cool thing about it, Jack was saying, is that if you're flying with somebody, you know, if you're in VR, you can turn, see your buddy.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
Do they look like though? Like, generic outline? Like,
oh, yeah, I don't know. But it's just having, for a game like this, having VR makes sense. I don't know why Microsoft didn't put it in the beginning. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this game, so
I've been watching a couple videos here and there on this, and it just looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks
everything really I've great. Seen.
I don't have the time to
because
if I get it, I just want
to go. I want to pull back and like take off and mess around.
Well, not just that. Like, I want the setup. I want I want my desk to look like a cockpit. You know, that's what I want, and I know I'm not gonna put in the money and the time to do that. So, but yeah, VR support is awesome. I think for, especially for a game like this, it just makes sense. They didn't say when, so fall of 2020. So probably
for the VR portion.
Yeah. It said mixed reality headsets will support the game. And it will support track IR motion tracking systems at launch. So yeah, like I said, I think for this game, VR makes complete sense. So yeah, you still have your VR headset?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I keep considering, like, because I have the lighthouses set up in the corners, and so obviously this room's set up for it. But I always have so much stuff going on in here that if I want to do VR, I got to spend an hour cleaning up the floor to get it ready. And then I'm like, oh, where did I put this or that? And then I got to tear it down. So I should probably just put it in the living room down here that's like right next to me.
Yeah. And
have it out there. But, or I've really been thinking maybe I'll just buy another set of lighthouses, mount them out there. And then if I want to do VR out there, we can just move it out there.
This was never my thing.
Yeah.
Never my thing. I don't know. I probably would be my thing. Just like wearable tech, it was never my thing, and now I have it, and I couldn't imagine not having it. So yeah. So let's talk about what we have coming up next week. You're still working on your Elgato Keylight Airs. What is this?
One right here.
Cookies. Allow cookies. So the Keylight Airs.
The second one. Yeah.
Ryan has two of them. Just great for streaming. Oh. We'll definitely talk about that one next week when he has his review ready for that. And then I'll be taking a look at a motherboard. So it's been a few weeks since I've taken a look at a motherboard. Motherboards are kind of my thing. So I have the ASRock Z490 Extreme 4. The Extreme line has always been solid when it comes to ASRock. They've done a few different design changes. I'm sure you can see in the board how it's kind of cut differently, especially where the SATA ports are, kind of cuts in there. Little difference, but yeah, we'll all have that for you, and also be taking a look at a CPU cooler, which we haven't done an Air CPU cooler review in a while.
Probably since like that Corsair, it feels like
it's been a while. I think I did a couple after that, but
okay.
This is the, I don't know how to say the company name correctly. Aboncore, I think that's how you say.
Okay, yep, I've heard of that. Yep.
Yeah, this is their CT404B dual sync, dual RGB fans. It is a tower cooler. It's actually put together quite well. I was actually really impressed when I took the pictures of this. I will be installing this tomorrow, so we'll see how
it's kind of a neat looking fan design.
Yeah, I actually like it. You know, and it seems like it will just, like I said, it's dual fans, so you're going to get a lot of airflow. And yeah, it's like I said, it's the direct touch heat pipes and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, and the fans go on so easily. They have these brackets that you really don't have to do anything. They just like pop on and off, which I really like as well. So yeah, so we'll have that all for you guys next week. And we come into the end here where we talk about if we've done anything. I know you got a new piece of tech this week.
Yeah.
You want to show us what you picked up this week?
Sure. Yeah, so yesterday I picked up the DJI Mavic Mini, and this thing is definitely mini. Like, it's folded up right now, but it's so light too, 249 grams, so it's under the 250 gram requirement for restrictions and everything, so you can essentially fly it wherever you want. But I mean, it's tiny. Like, my Pixel 4 next to it is
that thing is tiny,
and they weigh like, I really think my phone weighs more than it.
Yeah.
So I messed around with it a little last night. Took it to work today and messed around with it at lunch.
Huh? Did you fly it?
Yeah, I flew it downtown.
Nice. Why didn't you live stream from your flight?
What?
You can live stream to Facebook.
I don't think what? I can for this one.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think you can because you're capturing to your, or you're sending it through your phone. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you can do that.
Well, but I'm using an older phone. I'm using my original Pixel to go in the remote, so I don't have to tie up my main phone.
Gotcha. That's cool. I've been thinking about getting the which one did I tell you to get? The Mavic Air
2. probably.
Yeah, that one.
I don't want to spend that much because I bet the Flymore.
So pack. Why? Yeah, why did you get a drone?
Well, I've always wanted one anyways and just never did. Like, it was at the time I was like, oh, I'm either going to do a 3D printer or a drone. And I ended up with a 3D printer and then I kind of forgot about it. And then I have like another project that I'm kind of starting to work on from the side. I'm not really going to talk about it right now, but a drone would be helpful for it. So
nice. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I think I might pick one up. I had just bought this camera.
So oh, yeah.
That's my new purchase. So I'm going to wait to do another new purchase, I feel. But for me this past week, I've been watching Umbrella Academy. If you guys have heard of that, that's based off a comic. It's on Netflix. We have it linked in the show notes. And I had never heard about it before. Never heard of the comic. And I guess it's just getting promoted right now because season two is out, just came out. But I watched all of season one, a very compelling, just a good show. So if you want to watch something like that, it is sort of superhero-ish.
Is this, I wonder if this is the one that Shinny was talking about watching at one point. It may or may not be. I still need to watch, was it The Old Guard? Is that the one that you...
That's the movie that I said you should watch on Netflix.
Yeah, I know, I need to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, this is on Netflix. It's good. You can at least watch two. The second season just came out. I had just watched the first episode of the second season, so it is good. It's really good. The entire first season kept me very into it and compelling. And it's kind of funny, like how it's shot. It's just a little, like, because it's based off a comic, so it's a little different. But I did like it, so it's worth checking out. Yeah, Shinny, Umbrella Academy. It's I've been enjoying watching it. So besides that, though, I really haven't done much. I just got this new tripod that's sitting on the desk, which I kind of like because it allows me to move the camera around a little bit. I still think I'm going to get that arm.
Multi-mount?
Yeah, the multi-mount, just because it makes it even easier. I also set up my microphone a little bit different tonight. So it's down. It's just different. So hopefully I sound better to you guys as well. Besides that, I got new sunglasses. I got new sunglasses.
These things are so bright. When I was off of that tab and you had put them on and I went back to the tab, I seriously thought there was some sort of filter or something for StreamYard that had placed them on. Like,
no, they're very bright. But yeah, no, I haven't done much of anything else. Been working on a lot of reviews, a lot of video content coming as well. So definitely stay tuned for that, guys. We'll have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my QuakeCon shirt tonight. QuakeCon 2015, oh, nice. Because this weekend, 7th through the 9th, is QuakeCon at home. So they've got some events going on for that. You can check it all out at QuakeCon.org. They've got a bunch of, you know, presentations. A lot of it's stuff from Bethesda and about their games typically. I don't know if they're doing any like giveaways and stuff. That's always one of the great things about QuakeCon outside of the gaming and, you know, new games and tournaments you get to see is like all the swag and stuff you can get and all the companies that you get to see. So I picked up a hoodie. I went ahead and ordered one.
Nice.
Yeah. Should be here this week.
No, that's like the one event that I've always wanted to go to that I've never gone. And I was actually considering going to go this year. Mm-hmm. But now can't go. So that is it, guys. We will be up on, if I can stay away. We are going to be up on Twitch after this, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers, playing Apex with Shinny, trying to get Ryan some kills. I might connect that 240 Hertz monitor. I just put it, it's in the box behind me. But I might get it back out. If I don't play good, I might get it out. So yeah, guys, check us out over there again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. For everybody who tuned in for the live stream, we definitely appreciate it. And we obviously appreciate all you guys just listening after the fact as well. If you want to subscribe to the audio version of this, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app or website. And until next week, catch you guys later.